Spedcast Episode 9. Welcome to Spedcasts, bringing you relevant topics affecting special education educators, parents, and students. And welcome back. It's so great to have you join us on this beautiful day. Our topic today is the courage to teach, and we have a very special guest with us, Dr. Mary Kay Seibert. Would you please welcome Mary Kay? Great to have you.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here, and thank you for inviting me to talk about the courage to teach.
Absolutely. I wonder if we could just start a little bit about your background. I know that you are Director of Learning and Instruction for Wamego Schools.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you've been there for quite a few years.
10 years.
Okay.
Yes, 10 years. Before that, I was a classroom teacher at the secondary level, taught high school social studies kinds of classes, a lot of, a lot of psychology, a lot of AP psychology, sociology, and the other social sciences. And I taught at the high school level for 15 years. I was in the classroom prior to my position right now.
Wonderful.
Yes.
So a lot of time in education.
A lot of time in education. Left the classroom in 2001, not because I was burned out, but because I just had I felt like I had a need to go back and finish a master's and complete a doctorate. So I did that. And in the process of finishing my doctorate degree at K-State, I took the position that I currently hold. So I've been educated for a long, long time.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah, that's have wonderful. A teacher's heart mm-hmm. all the way.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, it's such a pleasure to have you here today. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with you just a little bit there at Wamego Public Schools and got to know you that way and found out about this kind of just as in a conversation that we had, mm-hmm. a casual conversation. And I can tell this is a strong area of passion for you. And just the notion of building collaborative communities of trust with mm-hmm. educators. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be nice for our audience to hear about this work that you're so passionate about, that you call the courage to teach. Can you share a little bit about the courage to teach and maybe what got you started on that?
Sure, certainly. As a classroom teacher, I stumbled upon a book back in 1998-99. It was right after Parker Palmer had written his book called The Courage to Teach. And I read that book, and that book resonated with me on so many core levels that I felt like, you know, I want to work with some of these ideas that he talked about in the book. He talked a lot about teaching and the difficulties of teaching and some of the inner struggles that teachers have in staying in their profession, because it's a very tough and challenging profession, as we all know. He talked about professional learning communities before I had even heard of PLCs. He had talked about that and a lot of other things in his book. And that really, I say this kind of flippantly, but that book really did kind of catapult me out of the high school. I left the high school really on fire to somehow weave this work of Parker Palmer's into education. So my idea was I'll go back and I'll get my PhD and I'll work with pre-service teachers in a university setting, and I will help share this work. And while that path didn't happen, I've been able to do the same kind of, you know, sharing of this work, of the courage work with the teachers in our school district. And now I'm getting ready to share that with other teachers in Kansas, teachers and administrators in Kansas. But, you know, really, when I think about this courage to teach work, every parent knows that and I think most educators know that too, that if a teacher comes into the classroom not on fire for teaching, dispirited or, not feeling appreciated and so on, that impacts what happens in the classroom. And we know that there are lots of research statistics to support this. The number one factor in student achievement is the quality of the teacher. And this courage work, I believe, helps sustain them and retain good teachers and in a way that we have not acknowledged in the past. We spend a lot of time in education talking about what it is that we teach. I think about all the work that all the school districts, including ours, is currently in the throes of, you know, learning about the Common Core standards for math and ELA and we spent a lot of time and we spent a lot of money and a lot of energy helping teachers understand what it is that we're supposed to be teaching. And we also spent a lot of time, energy, and money on pedagogy, you know, what good instruction looks like. And those are very important pieces to being a high quality teacher. And if we go, you know, Parker talks about this in a lot of his books. He's written many books besides The Courage to Teach, but he does say this frequently, you know, if we're good at it, if we're good at this business of professional development, we might go a little bit deeper and address the why. And I think we do a pretty good job of that in our district and in many districts, but rarely do we ever address the question of who is this person that comes into the classroom and teaches. I believe, and the people who are doing the work of the Courage to Teach across the nation are saying that, you know, this is a question that we haven't been addressing, and we need to address it if we want to really sustain and keep our really good teachers at this most difficult time of being an educator. Mm-hmm. So the Courage to Teach really is about that. Helping support and serve teachers in a way that will provide them opportunities to reflect on their craft and renew their passion for doing this very noble work.
Well, it sounds like a very noble work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we were preparing for today, I was kind of sifting through some research on the burnout rate.
Mm.
And the information that I came across talked about how the teaching profession in and of itself has the highest burnout rate of any public service job. And, you know, what is it that we can do as teachers? What are we doing? And what I hear you saying is not much. And of course, you know, our visitors, for the most part, are folks who have an interest in special education. Either they are mm-hmm. a special educator, a regular educator of mm-hmm. special ed populations, perhaps a parent, or maybe even you know, a young adult with a disability. Mm-hmm. Typically, is the audience that listens in. And so, as I was thinking about, you know, what angle does this also have? What application does this also have for special ed teachers, the information as I was digging through that research again was that 50% of special ed teachers leave their jobs within 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's really reflective across the board too, with regard to the stats that I've looked at in terms of the burnout rate for teachers, regardless of what content area or, you know, grade level that they are in. It's been pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. Within the first 5 years, about half of them leave. And, you know, when you think about it, the teachers go into this work. People choose this profession for reasons of the heart. And a lot of what teachers are asked to do, you know, while it's good and well-intentioned, has kind of been disheartening for teachers. And there's a general lack. Everybody knows it. Let's just name it. There's always been kind of a general lack of appreciation for the hard work of what teachers do, which is really ironic in so far as the fact that we know that it's that teacher that makes the core difference in the learning of the student. So what I'm doing in the Courage to Teach work is really offering opportunities to kind of lift up teachers in their professions. This kind of work has been going on, oh gosh, since Parker Palmer instituted the Center for Courage and Renewal about 11, 12 years ago. And since he, you know, started that, he and their staff have trained a total of, I think, 160 Courage to Teach facilitators across the country, and some of those, several of those now are, you know, in Canada and Australia as well. But there are Courage to Teach facilitators all across the nation. But, you know, when I look at the Midwest, there are none. There's not one. Now there's one. I mean, you know, I'm doing this work now, just starting to grow it in Kansas, but there's not one Courage to Teach facilitator in Nebraska, not one in Missouri. I believe there's one in Oklahoma, a couple in Colorado, And so I saw a need as I studied what was happening across the nation, and then also just filtering through all my experiences in working with teachers and working with administrators, I became convinced in my current position that I could do something about it. And so that's why I, you know, went through the facilitator training program. But if you look at, there is some research that they're collecting through the Center for Courage and Renewal on the impact of this work, this kind of unique professional development on teachers and students in the classroom, and it's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. So this is really a fairly new venture for you,
for me.
Sure.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, a 10 or so years for this center.
Mm-hmm. For the Center for Courage and Renewal has existed for about 10, I would say maybe 11, 12 years. Mm-hmm. And they've trained a lot of folks in a lot of states. Nobody has, so far has, been interested until now. But you know, teachers in Kansas are like teachers anywhere. And this is something, I think this is a gap in professional development that I'm hoping to bridge.
That's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your work, thus far. If has this begun in your own district?
Yeah, it has. It's been kind of interesting. The last 3 years, we've been doing courage work in our school district. What I did was I just simply put it out there. And I thought, I'm just going to put this out there and see, are there any teachers interested in taking a look at this kind of professional development? Along with everything else on their plates, it's hard to get teachers to say, oh, yeah, I'm interested in one more thing, even if it is something that they need and something that is good for them. So I put it out there, got about 7-8 teachers that first year. We sat down together. I talked to them about what this work was about and showed them the Courage to Teach book, and they said, yeah, we're interested. So we did a Courage to Teach kind of a book study once a month. We would get together after the school day, and I would bring, something good to eat and, kind of nurture them that way.
Snacks are always
good. Oh, yeah, snacks, chocolate. But, we went through the year that way. At the end of the year, I said, do you want to continue with this? Or, they wanted to. And I said, I'd like to grow it. So what do you think about growing it? And these teachers said, yes, we would like to grow it. So the next year, we had about an additional maybe 5-6, and then they wanted to continue again. So we're not doing the book study, this year or last year. We do other things, but I plan all of the circles of trust, we call them, and I plan the activities. And we've got 18 participating this year, and so it's saying to me that as busy as teachers are, as overwhelmed and burdened as they are with all the changes that are coming at them full force, that this is important enough to do. And so that's been real affirming to me in terms of growing this work in my school district. Now I'm ready to grow it outside of the school district.
Tell us a little bit about what your plans are for that.
Okay. Well, in the facilitator preparation program through the Center for Courage and Renewal, it's a 2-year preparatory program, and I finished that. And as part of that program training is the expectation that you will host a full retreat experience for the teachers, for educators, whoever you happen to serve. And I might mention that the Center for Courage and Renewal now has expanded. It's not just serving educators. It's also serving, this is kind of interesting, but once Parker got this work going through the Center for Courage and Renewal, other professionals in other areas started clamoring for similar kinds of retreat experiences. So now we have, of those 160 facilitators, some of them serve people in medicine, like doctors, physicians, lawyers, people in ministry, people in nonprofit work. So if you are a trained facilitator, you can facilitate retreats really for any of those groups of professionals. But they were saying, hey, we this is tough work that we're doing as well. We need this kind of professional development as well. But as part of the training, I am offering the first retreat of many to come. And it is a full retreat, so that'll be happening in July. It's a 3-day, 2-night retreat beginning at 5 o'clock on a Friday. This is the 12th of July, beginning at 5 o'clock on a Friday and ending at noon on Sunday. And so that will be a full retreat experience for 22 educators, pre-K through 12 and higher ed. And we already have a growing list of people who would want to participate. And then down the road, I foresee not only doing full retreats such as that, but also half-day and one-day kinds of retreat experiences for teachers, because it is easier for some teachers, for many teachers, not to have to spend nights away from their family.
Right.
But this first one for me is going to be an overnight, two-night thing.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
It's very exciting. I'm so excited about it. I can't tell you how gratifying it is to finally be at this place where I can actually plan for what's happening. And I will be co-facilitating that retreat with a seasoned facilitator through the Center for Courage and Renewal. Her name is Bev Coleman. She's a wonderful lady who's worked with Parker for many, many years out of Kalamazoo, Michigan. She'll be flying down to co-facilitate with me. She's my mentor for this in this preparatory program.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So what might teachers expect if they came to this retreat? What kinds of things, are you planning to occur? Sounds like a royal spoilage for teachers, but tell us about what we could expect.
Well, you know, these retreats usually consist of 22 to 25 educators, and we gather at a beautiful retreat center. We're going to be having our first retreat at the Rock Springs 4-H Center. Not too awful far from here. And the retreat consists of carefully designed both individual and collegial kinds of activities. We use what I call third things, which might be teaching stories, which might be poetry, which might involve some journaling, might involve some art, exploring nature, and just having dialogue. And we spend time in reflection alone and with others. And we reflect with this retreat. It'll be focused on educators, of course. So we're going to focus on our educational practices and the interconnections between our personal and our professional identities. So a lot of this work is about trying to help teachers, providing them an opportunity for a safe way to reconnect the role that they play as an educator with who they are as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's a big part of this Courage to Teach work, because frankly, often in the profession of teaching, or in education in general, there are conflicts that exist between what teachers are, you know, just think about it. Why do teachers get into the profession? I don't know of any teacher that got into the profession to only build skills and prepare kids for assessments. So we wrestle with the tough issues of what's being asked of them, how they are handling that, and allowing them a safe environment to share out some of their frustrations, but also celebrate their joys in teaching. I've experienced myself about four or five of these retreats in this past 3 years, and every time I have come back myself from any of these retreat experiences with these highly trained facilitators, I feel transformed and ready to move forward and more clear about, you know, a lot of things related to my own professional journey.
I think that transformation piece is so huge, and the renewal portion that really speaks to me, you know, having worked in the field of special education for the bulk of my career. And so I'm thinking about my former colleagues and just the difficulty of being in the trenches day in and day mm-hmm. out. And honestly, you hear things like, well, you have summers off and Christmas off and spring break off. And honestly, that is your time to try to renew. Mm-hmm. But it's much, much needed, because it's very difficult. Teaching in general is difficult. And then that special ed layer can be so challenging and draining physically and mentally.
Absolutely.
So I'm very excited to hear your thoughts on the renewal piece mm-hmm. and the chance to rejuvenate and refresh, so that we're giving constantly.
Yes.
You're just providing and giving.
Yes. That's absolutely true. And if, you know, and we all know, if you don't take care of yourself as an educator, it's hard to bring your full self to the classroom and do the best work that you need to do every day.
Which reminds me, in some of your writings, you refer to teachers as cultural heroes.
I do. Parker talks a lot about teachers as cultural heroes. I mean, and I agree with him. I think that we expect our teachers to be everything, to do everything, to pick up where other institutions have not been able to do what they need to do, be it the family or whatever. And we expect all of this about of our teachers, and yet teachers really truly are not appreciated for that hard work near what they should be appreciated for. So I see them as people in our society who we hold up and expect so much, and they do so much. They transform lives. That's what teachers do. So I've always felt that teachers are our prized possessions, and that we need to take care of them and nurture them and help them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like this is going to be a really nice venue to do that. And you're right. It's a gap.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see this in our profession.
Mm-hmm. This is a kind of professional development that is very different from what teachers are used to. And I remember myself, teachers are used to going to professional development experiences, having somebody come in and teach them what they don't know and teach them techniques. This is really more focused on a kind of professional development where teachers are asked to reflect on their own voice with regard to this profession, and to listen to some inner teachings that they have about who they are and their work with students in the classroom. And so it's not a sit and get by any means. It's pretty experiential, and it is it's always, you know, by invitation. I've talked to superintendents. I've met many people who are doing this work across the nation, and talked to superintendents who are also courage and renewal facilitators for teachers, and they have shared with me some stories about how, you know, at first when they started this work, they thought they would have this kind of professional development and require whole school districts to participate. That doesn't work real well. This is by invitation. And so, you know, it's a different way of going about renewing oneself in the profession of teaching and educating.
So if a teacher really believed that they had a need for this.
And they all do. Yeah. We all do. Let me just be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. How would they go about making this a part of their lives? How would they obviously there's a book out there.
I would recommend that book, and any of Parker Palmer's books. The Courage to Teach is one of them. And I think, you know, that could be a starting place. Certainly attending a retreat where this is offered and participating in that. I think, you know, we need communities of trust to do this kind of work, you know, because we have in this work, we have what we call touchstones, and they are just really kind of rules of conversation. I'll give you an example. When I meet with our teachers every month for this Courage to Teach group in Wamego, you know, we review those touchstones, and one of those touchstones is no fixing or saving. We're good at that. Teachers are good at fixing and saving. But when they come into the circle of trust, we call it, in the Courage to Teach working group, we remember that we are there to listen and listen well, and that we don't do very well either. Many of us don't do that very well. So we practice really deep listening and refraining from trying to fix people. And we talk about the importance of asking open and honest questions when you're trying to understand what someone is saying or a problem or whatever. And open, honest questions are questions that are posed that the person who asked the question doesn't know the response. And so we talk about the difference between open and honest questions and those that are not. And, you know, if a teacher is telling me about a problem that they have, you know, an open, honest question is not, have you seen a good therapist? Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, and sometimes we have to, we are in the job of helping and fixing and solving problems. And so there's a time and a place for that. But there's also a deep need for teachers and for human beings to be listened to. And in the frantic pace of a teacher's life, there's less of that than there should be, I think. So we spend time really, you know, investigating what it really means to listen with the intention of understanding. Listen to understand, and asking questions that are open and honest, and no fixing and saving, and confidentiality is a big part of this work group, because, you know, you've got to develop a sense of trust in that the people that you're setting with during the Courage to Teach experiences, that there will be confidentiality, and that you're not going to be talking about whatever it is that they're struggling with in their classroom, outside of the classroom, and so on. But,
so when you talk about circle of trust, what you're saying is that this is an opportunity for teachers to come together and really share what it is that's happening, just laying it out there.
Yes.
On a daily basis, yeah. The struggles, the good, mm-hmm, the bad, the mm-hmm. ugly, and right. having a safe place to yeah. talk about those things.
Right. But also, that is correct, Chris, but also in a very kind of structured venue. Mm-hmm. Because that was one of the first things that some of the teachers in our, you know, in our district, and even our administrators, were a little bit weary. What are you doing? You're getting together with teachers, and is it going to be a gripe session? And,
right.
you know, it doesn't become that because of the training that I have. I know, and we're schooled in this, but, you know, I know that from personal experience in leading groups. You need a structure. You need to, typically I will think very carefully about how this will look for an hour or for a retreat. A lot of thought goes into it, but choosing, you know, like a story or a piece of poetry or some activity that will allow for people to be honest and open, but in a way that's bounded yet. So it's challenging, but yet bounded, so that we don't get into gripe sessions, because I don't have time for that either. Mm-hmm. So there's certainly... honesty is a big part of this work, and integrity, and just being true to yourself. But it's not a gripe. It's not a situation where teachers get together and just spend hours griping. That does nobody any good.
So there's a model work through.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's great.
And we're trained in what that model looks like. It's
and
very
have you
successful.
Found that to be, that was my next question, have yeah. you found that to be beneficial
oh, yeah.
with your teachers?
Oh, yeah. Very staff? Much so. Very much so. You know, I guess I say to myself, you know, this must be really helping our teachers. And I know it is because of the comments they make. But, you know, after a long day of teaching, nobody wants another anything to do from 4 to 5:30. We have 18 teachers coming together once a month for Courage to Teach. And, you know, there have been times when I've said, you know, I'm not sure I can do it. And they just get so upset because they need that time. It's very important to them. I did a presentation for the KSDE conference here this past fall, and had some clips of teachers talking about what it meant to them. And that was pretty powerful.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Is there anything else that you would like to share with us, with our audience, as we kind of work towards coming to a close here? I mean, it just sounds like such an amazing opportunity for teachers. I know I'll let you share, and then I'll share kind of some closing thoughts as far as, you know, show notes and that kind of thing.
Okay. Well, I would just emphasize that these experiences, these Courage to Teach experiences, are for all teachers. Pre-K through 12 and higher ed. And the purpose of the retreat experiences is to help folks develop a stronger purpose, a renewed commitment to their profession, and an increased satisfaction in their work. We talked about renewal. It's about helping teachers and educators renew their passion for teaching, so that they can return to that classroom refreshed and energized. What we're finding is a lot of folks who participate in these in other states where it's happening until now come back and they say, you know, those retreat experiences helped me to be more fully present in my classroom, which has made a huge change in how I experience teaching and how my students experience learning. So, you know, it is, I think, a way to help teachers expand their own ability to be resilient and purposeful in this most noble of professions.
Absolutely. Now, I understand there's a deadline if they want to sign up to be a part of this.
You have to have deadlines, you know.
and it's not too far away.
Yeah. It isn't. March 1st is the deadline to sign up. There are 22 slots. I think I have, you know, I've got some open slots, but all it is a matter of, you know, saying you're committed. And then there are a couple of, you know, I ask folks to fill out a registration form. And then once all the slots are filled up, then I have to stop, you know, but we have 22.
Okay.
We have 22.
And is this only offered once a year, or is there an opportunity if you had enough interest to possibly offer it again?
This is the first retreat for teachers and in Kansas. There will be more, but this is the first retreat. But there'll be this is going to grow in Kansas. I'm just certain of it.
It's really getting just now getting off of its feet. I mean, it's
absolutely.
I just think it'll be I think that will fill up very quickly.
Yeah. I'm really excited. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful experience for a lot of folks.
Well, I will have the links in the show notes as to, you know, how if they want to fill out the flyer or link to, you know, the information about the Courage to Teach. I'll have that all in the show notes for our listeners.
Okay.
So they can find that there. But Mary Kay, it has been a real pleasure to have you today joining us. And I'm so excited to be able to share this opportunity, you know, for our cultural heroes, teachers.
Yes, for our cultural
teachers.
Yes.
So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
You bet. Tune in next week to SPEDcast.